that's me. They're talking about me, Bill Buckmaster. Hello, everybody, along with my buddy John Couch. Big welcome to you to the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday, November the 2nd, 2021. It is Election Day in the city of Tucson, and it is All Souls Day as well. Buckmaster, closing out year 11 at the end of this year, will launch into 12 in 2022. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our radio station, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means if you are anywhere near a computer, just plug it in and you can hear the Buckmaster Show pretty much anywhere. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We use the Live Line to go to the nation's capital. And Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs, whose unique role in representing Tucson's interests began with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet positions by President Carter and subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. And he is also an opinion editor contributor, op-ed page contributor to the Arizona Daily Star. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just fine. I'm going to have to recheck my credentials at the Star. We've got a bright new editor. Sarah Gasson has gone home to St. Louis.
Yep.
And we've got a bright younger guy, and I hope he likes my stuff, too.
Hope so, too. And I know you're enjoying the World Series, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving it. And the playoffs as well. Bill, this is some of the best baseball I've seen in years. I mean, just here in the World Series, you've got two really great teams. One has very strong pitching. The other has a killer lineup of hitters. And yet, it hasn't gone that way. And really, the Braves have out-hit the Astros in the early part of the series. So we're down to the sixth game tonight, and the Braves, as you know, are up two. So we'll just see. It may end tonight.
Hey, Terry, who wins the governor's race there back in your area of Virginia?
Well, of course, that's the big question of the day, and it's a hard one to predict. First of all, it's raining and it's cold here. So that's not very good for Election Day. How that works out, I don't know. The polls say it's a tight race, which either candidate could win. If Terry McAuliffe, the Democrat, wins, it'll really be because the voters see him as a way to defeat Trumpism. His campaign has really been sort of laid off the mark, and his opponent, Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, has, in my opinion, run a much better campaign. And with the president's popularity down for now, that's very helpful to the Republican. Still, my personal experience handing out Democratic materials at the early voting spots last week, I saw that the Democrats were noticeably outnumbering the Republicans in the early voting. So I guess we'll just have to find out tonight. I have no prediction.
Well, it is being kind of called the a watershed race on and kind of a referendum on Biden so far. So it's an important decision today.
Well, and historically, as you know, Bill, off-year elections after a presidential year almost always go against the incumbent president. It just seems to work out that way. Long history of that here. If McAuliffe should win, he would break a long-standing trend.
Terry Bracey, let me ask you: Are you surprised at the willingness of Republicans to defend former President Trump? And I know you've been following this special committee on the January 6th attack on our Capitol.
You know, I really am, Bill, and it leads me to believe that our democracy is really in trouble. I'm kind of amazed by the willingness of the Republicans not only to defend Trump, but in many cases to support the insurrectionists. You know, in England this week, Bill, there's an annual celebration for the failure of a similar event. It was called the Gunpowder Plot of 1605. Where conspirators plotted to blow up Parliament and were caught at the very last moment. They were quickly executed, which sent a powerful message.
Yeah, and we're still trying to figure out how to punish the January 6th mob. And so far, I'll tell you, these sentences, at least the ones I've been seeing, I don't think you could call them, Terry Bracey, very severe.
You're right, exactly. How does one, you know, how's the old saying go, those who failed to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them? I think unless some very heavy sentences are handed out, we could well see another event of this kind in the near future.
Yeah, and before we talk about the president's program, there was a poll out yesterday, very troubling, that 1 in 3 Republicans actually felt that that the country, maybe the only way to get the country on what they consider the right path would be through violence. I found that very troubling, and I think all Americans should.
Well, I totally agree with you, Bill, and what so many people fail to understand is that our economy, the stock they own, the interest they have in business and so on, is all tied to the world's belief that the United States is the most stable democracy. Since World War II, we've had the benefit of being the stable democracy, and that has made the dollar the world's, you know, currency. And it's increased the value of our stocks. It's done all of these things which have created this amazing economy. Now, if we start convincing the world that we aren't stable, and if the Republicans do it, well, our economy is going to go with them. I'd like to hear, I'd like to hear some commentary on that.
Before we let you go, Terry Bracey, the president's program, we've talked about it in the past. It's going to be slimmed down. Do you think do you still believe it will be passed?
I do. And one reason is because next to it is a historic infrastructure bill, which will completely redo the country. And many moons ago, Bill, when I worked on Capitol Hill, these ugly negotiations were done behind the scenes. They went on all the time. In today's hypermedia world, with many reporters seeking the same kind of fame, which motivates so many of today's politicians, all the behind scenes and all the machinations are in public view. And their importance is often exaggerated. In the end, I think there'll be a deal. And maybe a historic one, reminiscent of the New Deal of Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. And the amazing point, if this happens, is that President Biden will have threaded the needle and gotten this done with people like Manchin and Sinema, and not one vote to spare. Just amazing.
So, if indeed that comes to pass, will that help Biden in the polls?
Without a doubt. I think what Biden is betting is all this insurrection, all this stuff that Trump's leading will sort of go away when people start to see that government is really helping their lives. And this new deal that he has, look at the child care. Look at the early education. Look at the help for seniors. I mean, it's all there. And whether it's $3.5 trillion, I can't even say the word trillion. $3.5 trillion, you know.
Yep.
That's a what?
It is.
That's $1,000 billion. I mean, come on.
It's a lot of money.
this is a huge amount of money, much more than was spent in the New Deal, much more than was spent in the Great Society. And these investments, for the first time since Reagan, really, 40 years ago, will go, instead of to Wall Street, to businesses and tax breaks for the rich, they're going to go to families and homes that really need it. And I think he thinks that that's going to change the whole thinking in American society.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Terry Bracey, have a great day. Enjoy the rest of the World Series. Hope you'll be with us soon again. Thanks, Terry.
Okay, I will be.
Bye. All right. Terry Bracey with us from Washington, D.C. Mona's Danish Bakery wants me to tell you, and I'm glad to do it, that before you know it, Thanksgiving is going to be upon us, about 3 weeks away. So time to start thinking about what kind of pie you would like. How about the dinner rolls? And on it goes. Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery is ready for your order. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. Their hours, 6:30 till 2 o'clock, anywhere, depends on the day, depending on when they close up. But they're open right now for lunch at the northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website, and you can order through the website for Thanksgiving or give them a call or just walk into the bakery. That's the best option, I think. And get some bakery goods and then place your order for Thanksgiving. Shelley Fishman coming up next. Big thumbs up from Shell. We'll hear from him right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how's your week going so far?
So far, Bill, but it's still early in the week.
It is. Yeah, Tuesday is early on in anybody's week. Well, Terry Bracey had some interesting things to say about the economy. Do you have any kind of a quick follow-up?
Well, everything he said. So here's the deal. Terry is absolutely right that to a very great extent, the success of our economy in post-World War II years was both dependent upon and as a result of the stability we showed as a country and our ability to give an appearance to the world that betting on us was a safe bet.
Because we are perceived to be stable.
Exactly, stability. And we know how economists and markets in general just don't like uncertainty.
Right.
Where I differ a tiny bit, just a tiny bit, from what Terry said, is over the past 20 or 30 years with globalization, the reasons for U.S. dominance have changed significantly. The appearance of stability is less important now than it was, say, in the 1950s and 60s and even the 70s. What the world is now depending upon us for is the best technology for leadership in terms of what you can do in the service sector and for the ability to change business models in industrial sectors such that the whole effect of globalization gets, I don't want to say maximized, let's say optimized by the fact that supply chains, supply lines, just-in-time inventory management, that kind of thing, make it possible for the rest of the world to participate in the growth and success of the world economy. We don't hear about this a lot, but over the past 20 years, income levels throughout Africa, for instance, and certainly throughout Asia, have changed dramatically upward because of globalization. The whole success of the Chinese monolith is in part because of our ability and willingness to trade with them and use the things that they do best and the things that we do best to our mutual advantage. Now, have there been hiccups there? Are there things the Chinese are doing that we hate and we should be able to stop them from doing? Absolutely. But when you take a look at the macro sense of what is happening in the world economies and how the United States is viewed as part of those economies, it is now so integrated that it would be hard to believe that our hiccups over the past 4 or 5 years could take us out of the central spot. That said, there are other economies waiting to fill the bill, if you will. You know, there was a period of time not so long ago when people were talking about the euro replacing the dollar.
Oh, yeah.
As the most stable currency in the world. So there are competitors out there who would love to see us fail. But right now, I believe that the effects of globalization have simply changed the parameters of what works and what doesn't work and how we're viewed in the world.
Well, obviously, the markets feel something is working very well.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And it, you know, I scratch my head and it's just so perplexing because we have the markets now hitting daily highs, historical highs of their not just high levels for each of the indices, but they're high by historical measurements in terms of, for instance, the price to earnings ratios that are now not just 10 or 15% higher than we normally see, but 20, 25% higher than we normally see. And the markets don't want to stop. They just keep going. So here's all this uncertainty in American politics. There's uncertainty in whether or not the president, this President Biden, is going to get his way in terms of some of the proposals he's got sitting there, you know, alive by a thread, if you will. And yet the market knows that in Democratic presidencies, the economy does better historically than in Republican presidencies. And the market knows that market growth during Democratic presidencies is significantly higher than in Republican presidencies. And I'm going back now 50, 60, 70 years. If I go back.
And you've got the numbers. Folks are out there saying, oh, well, he's really being partisan here. You have gone over these numbers on this show.
Absolutely.
Where you go back to the end of World War II.
And we can go back further, but it makes the numbers look worse for Republicans. So the market professionals, the big investors, they know this. So you see ads on television, Bill, from the Chamber of Commerce and from various right-wing interest groups damning everything that is being proposed in Congress, and yet the people who are betting with their bucks are betting the market higher and higher and higher. So that's, you know, if you're a small investor, if you're a, you know, just somebody who's kind of in the market, you know, in a 401k or you know, just a normal kind of run-of-the-mill family that is somewhat invested, it's hard to ignore the forward-looking motion of this market at a time when listening to the news and to media, et cetera, you would think that all of that uncertainty would just play in the opposite direction. Now, you know, I'm not a psychologist, and I don't play one on radio. But what I see is every time I send up a cautious flag on this show, for instance, and say, you know, this market's a little bit overbought, and you need to have some cash and get ready for a pullback, you know, the market makes a liar of me. And it just keeps on going ahead. There's some volatility. Yeah, you get a couple of days where you and I are a little bit upset about what might be happening, and then we just move right ahead. So this is telling me that the economists are not only feel that they're in control of what's going on, but that what is happening is, in fact, in the right direction.
Yeah, because we say it all the time. Markets don't like uncertainty.
That's correct. And there's all this uncertainty
right
out there. And yet, for instance, the Fed Open Market Committee is meeting this week. At the end of the week, probably around 3 o'clock on Thursday, we're expecting the Fed chairman to announce the beginning of some pullback in some of the financial stimulus that the Fed's been pouring into the economy for the past, 10 years. The market knows that's going to happen, doesn't care.
And traditionally, they would care, which is big time. They'd be saying, oh, my goodness, this meeting's coming up Thursday afternoon. We better sell and...
Well, we better get ready for bad news coming out of the Fed, but they know that this administration is not going to take precipitous action to slow down this economy. What they might do is begin to pull back because of all of the fears of inflation. But, you know, the fears, the things that are causing inflation in this economy now have nothing to do with stimulus. They have to do with supply chains, and they have to do with shortages, and they have to do with all of the things that are affecting people's willingness to work.
Yeah.
Have nothing to do with stimulus.
A lot of reasons why people are not working. One of them is childcare.
Childcare and just the fear of this pandemic. I mean, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was up in the White Mountains, and buried four family members to COVID.
Unbelievable.
So this thing isn't over yet.
No, it is
and
not.
People know it's not.
Arizona, one of seven states, most of them in the Intermountain West. Alaska's one of those seven where COVID is still a huge problem.
Absolutely.
Rest of the country, Delta variant looks like it's peaked, going down. Other places like Colorado, Idaho, big numbers of
outside
COVID.
Of my boathouse, Bill. But if you're not vaccinated. Stop.
Yep.
Get vaccinated.
Yeah, and get your booster. I'm going to talk to Dr. Woosley about that coming up next. Shelley Fishman, thank you. Always a pleasure. All right, we will talk to Shelley next Tuesday. He's always with us right here at 12:15. We have Dr. Ray Woosley. Ray Woosley coming up next, and we're going to talk about COVID boosters.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. This portion presented by Green Things. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things is located at 3384 East River Road, open daily, 51st year. Green Things, 51 years and still growing. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. Zocalo Village for all that beautiful Talavera pottery directly imported from Mexico. They've got a great selection. In fact, Tucson's largest collection of Talavera in all sizes, shapes, and styles, and at great prices. Our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show that focuses on your medication is called Your Meds. Our Your Meds segment, sponsored by Credible Meds and featuring Dr. Ray Woosley, former UA College of Medicine dean and founder and now president emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, commonly referred to as CPATH. Dr. Woosley's latest creation, doing very well, Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. Each day, over 2,000 people from 180 countries visit their website, crediblemeds.org. Dr. Ray Woosley, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. We're 19 months into the COVID-19 pandemic. What have we learned so far, Dr. Woosley?
Well, we've learned that a lot, and we've learned that we've got a lot more to learn. And we went into this hoping, when we heard we had a vaccine, we hoped that it would be the end very shortly. But I think we're learning that we may be in this for the long haul. And the vaccines, while extremely effective and life-saving, don't provide permanent immunity. It's not like smallpox or chickenpox, where you get the infection or you get the vaccination and you're good for life. After a few months, some people, many people, especially the elderly, start having a decline in their antibodies and their immunity starts to wane. And that's why we're now faced with people needing boosters. It's not one and done. We're going to have to, for the foreseeable future, use annual boosters. And we may have to do like we do with the flu, where we have to find a new vaccine every year that's able to keep it under control. But, you know, even under control, influenza causes 35,000 deaths a year. Mm. So it's not a great model to aspire to be like the flu.
I had my second Moderna shot back in March. I was one of those that wanted to get my two shots as quickly as possible. So once Moderna became available for the booster, I had my booster shot last Friday, and a little bit of a reaction because I had had a robust reaction to shot number two. But my goodness, it's worth 24 hours of kind of not feeling that great compared to what it would be like to get COVID. I don't want to get COVID, so I'm going to take the booster. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I do too, Bill. And I, like you, I think I was one of the first people in Tucson to get the Pfizer booster. And I think I'm in that population that needs the extra immunity for a variety of reasons. So I think we've learned that that's not a problem with these boosters. The side effects are very rare. They're very small. And the thing that we've learned is that COVID itself has horrible side effects and persistent side effects that last for months and months in some people. And even, you know, the incidence of myocarditis is very, very rare with COVID vaccine, but it's five times higher in COVID itself.
Hmm.
So having a lot of people are saying, well, I'm going to ride this out. It's a mild illness. I'll just get my illness and I'll be done with it. That's not the way it works. It's not a mild illness in many people. Still, you know, early on, there were about 5% of people who got infected died. That's now down to about 1.5 to 2 because of the way we're treating it better. But it's still 1.5% to 2% of people who get the infection die. And a lot of the people who, many of the people who get infected again. So the immunity, the vaccines don't last forever, and the immunity that you get from a natural infection don't last forever. So we're going to be thinking about how to control this for a long time, and the vaccines are going to be essential to it, but they're not going to be a panacea. It's not going to make it go away immediately.
And then we're looking to these antiviral drugs for help.
Right, and Merck has developed an oral drug, which is a great step forward, because the previous treatments we've had, the monoclonal injections, require a lot of, you know, not hospitalization, but a lot of medical care to be administered. But the Merck drug, Molnupiravir, horrible name, I'm sure.
Oh, my goodness. I won't ask you to say it twice.
No,
we'll just say
it. I wouldn't get it. But Molnupiravir.
There you go. Okay.
Is the drug developed by Merck. And the good news for that is Merck has decided to make it available worldwide patent-free. They're ignoring the patent. So anybody can make it, anywhere in the world can make a generic version of it, and they won't insist on royalties. So that once the drug is approved, now it's still not approved. The data look very appealing. And it's being reviewed by the FDA, and it hopefully could be approved fairly soon. And that'll be a 4 or 5 day course. So once you develop symptoms, 4 or 5 days of oral treatment could keep you out of the hospital and save lives. So that's going to make a major difference.
And that won't be in the pharmacies for a couple of months at least.
At least, and maybe more. It's hard to predict, because there's a lot of data that need to be looked at, and there may be additional studies that need to be done to make sure they know how to use it.
So, Dr. Woosley, COVID is going to be here to stay and is here to stay.
I'm afraid you're right, Bill.
Wanted to ask you about why we've plateaued here in Arizona, and I think we're, along with the Intermountain West, Colorado, Idaho, Alaska, really still being hard hit by this Delta variant. The good news is most of the rest of the country, Dr. Woosley, plateaued, and the numbers have been going down. But COVID is still, Arizona is still a hotbed for COVID.
It is. We've got 10% of the testing comes back positive now.
Yep.
And we need to get that down to 1% or 2% at least to be able to keep the pressure off our hospitals and our healthcare providers. And to stop the deaths. And that's the nature. You know, we've been going through a pandemic, and it's now transitioning into something that's called endemic, which means it's everywhere. It's not spreading as rapidly, but it's just here to stay at a low level, a lower level than it was. And that means we've got to have the better tools, like the drug we talked about. We got to have more people vaccinated. We've got to change back, may have to develop new vaccines over time. We need a better way to administer it than injection. You know, some vaccines you can administer by just a puff in your nose. You know? And that kind of vaccination, I'm sure, is being tested and developed, and that would really speed up the process. And I think it would make it more acceptable to many people than a shot is.
If you're eligible, get your booster and certainly get a flu shot.
Absolutely, as soon as you can. And don't just do it for you. Do it for your loved ones and for our society. We've got to get this under control, or we're just going to have wave after wave until we've lost, well, we've already lost over 730 million people.
One more quick question.
I'm
on
sorry.
The long haulers, those that get COVID and then they have these symptoms and they're called long haulers. What kind of percentage are we talking about of people that are in that category?
Well, we're just now getting data on that, but some estimates is 10%, but others say 30%. Depends on how you define it, of course. And when you include sort of vague symptoms of weakness and confusion, it's up to 30-35%. If you limit it to people who have something called postural orthostatic hypotensive tachycardia, where every time they stand up, their blood pressure drops and their heart rate increases and they develop arrhythmias, that could be like 1 to 2%. But that's a severe illness. It's incapacitating for many people.
Yes, it is. All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, thank you very much. We urge everybody to look at crediblemeds.org for any information about medication. Thank you, Dr. Woosley, and stay well, sir.
Will do. Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Ray Woosley with us, contributor on the Buckmaster Show on medicine and medication. Coming up next, the state of the town. The town we're talking about is Oro Valley. We'll talk with the Oro Valley mayor right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Join me tonight for a conversation about what's happening in the world that affects you. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. This portion is presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start thinking about a great trip over that neck of the woods. Only about a three-hour drive. Not bad at all. To a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. And this is a great time of year to visit Silver City, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, or hanging out in Silver City. Some great Victorian homes and architecture in that city. And it's only, as I say, three-hour drive. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. Spell out Southwest New Mexico, and there you will learn about some great things to do and great places to stay. Let's go on the live line now, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, to the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, Joe Winfield. Mayor Winfield, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm great, and I appreciate the invitation to be on your show today.
Well, thank you very much. Last week was the State of the Town address. How did that go, and what was your declaration to those attending? What is the State of the Town?
I think by all accounts, Bill, the State of the Town, and this was the 20th annual State of the Town, went very well. There were over 600 folks that attended. There was a business expo that preceded the State of the Town and provided me an opportunity to lay out many of the accomplishments of the town this past year, and they were considerable, virtually from all departments. And some highlights of that included nearly $1 million that was earmarked by the town council to be used to help support our local businesses as a result of the pandemic. And we also annexed Westward Look Resort this past year. We had a Keep OV Beautiful campaign that resulted in various groups doing litter pickup along our highways. You and others may have noticed that litter became an increasing problem during the pandemic, and so that was an avenue to help clean up our streets. The town expanded the half-cent sales tax, which made way for the approval of a $25 million bond to be invested in our community center, Naranja Park, and our multi-use path system. 11 lives were saved by our police department this past year. The chief of police instituted a mental health support team officer that serves specifically individuals within our community with mental health concerns, also focusing on officer wellness to include fitness, nutrition, and mental health. Oro Valley saw an unprecedented number of permits were issued, and this past year, 2,600, that equated into $250 million in new construction.
So you got a lot going on, it sounds like.
We do, Bill. It really was an incredible year, and I have to applaud our staff and our community as a whole, really coming together and in spite of the pandemic, moving a number of initiatives forward.
How about that abandoned golf club at Vistoso, turning that into a 200-acre desert natural preserve? That's moving along. Do you like that idea?
Oh, I love that idea. I've been on the paths a number of times, and it's a wonderful resource to our community. We've been working with the Conservation Fund, with the owner of the property, with Preserve Vistoso group. And I think right now the goal is $1.8 million to be donated by community members. I know they hit the million mark here recently, so they're well on their way to reaching their goal of $1.8 million. And we hope to have that completely contract signed and so on and so forth by the end of this calendar year.
For folks who don't really follow Oro Valley very closely, perhaps they live here in the Tucson area, they've only heard about, or they usually hear there's been bickering over selling a golf course. But all of that seems to be behind the council right now.
Yes, I believe so. We have a wonderful community that really values open spaces and the outdoors. We have a community that has a high regard for public safety. We have a police department that helps us to be the safest community in the state of Arizona. We have wonderful parks, both our community parks, and then we have Catalina State Park that is adjacent to our community, Coronado National Forest, Tortolita Mountains. It's really a wonderful community that has well-designed streets and buildings and some wonderful schools all the way from primary to we've opened the University of Arizona Veterinary School of Science 2 years ago. They have their second cohort of students, so there's 220 students. A third cohort will be added within the next year.
You know, you mentioned the annexation of the Westward Look Resort. Will there be changes to that area as far as development, or what is the plan?
So there will be changes. The changes that you'll see in the short term is that we're going to be improving the entrance road to Westward Look. There's a paved trail that we're going to be resurfacing. There is some frontage property that is owned by Westward Look Resort that was zoned. There were, there were three site plans, and they can be mixed and match for various kinds of development that it can include housing, commercial, and so forth. The timetable for that is really driven by the owner, but the rezoning was part of that annexation.
But you won't see high-rise development, will you, there?
Well, when you say
I don't know, like 10-story building or something.
No, absolutely
that's
not.
That's what I think of, yes.
Yeah, no. It would be 2- and 3-story.
Okay. So generally, Mayor, you've listed the accomplishments. What do you see as the big challenge now facing you in 2022?
Well, the immediate challenge is a good challenge to have. As I mentioned, we approved a $25 million bond to be invested in our Parks and Recreation program. That's a significant lift for a community like ours. And we're going to be focusing on improvements to the community center and to building out Naranja Park, and also adding some additional connections to our multi-use path system. So that's a significant lift for us. We'll also, of course, our police department, the headquarters was built 20 years ago. They've outgrown that facility, so we'll be looking at potentially a new home for our police department. In terms of we also, the marketplace was a retail center that was built a little over 10 years ago. We're working with the new owners, Town West, to reimagine that property. It has some undeveloped or some parcels that have not been developed. We're looking at mixed use to add housing, some hotels, an entertainment district to help bolster the shops that are already there, and then to bring additional retail to that area.
We're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately, running out of time. Mayor Joe Winfield, thank you so much for the update.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Mayor Winfield from Oro Valley. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing my program, want to wish everybody a great afternoon, and stay tuned for the Dave Ramsey program. Have a great day.